I promise this session won't go as long as that last one. You've been very patient, and I know that some of you have kids, and so let's get started. This session is entitled, How to Love a Wife. Now, I'm going to give time about fair play, and tomorrow morning, our first session will be How to Love a Husband. And those are very different, of course, very different. And neither of them have to do, at least with any directness, with the intimacy of marriage. Now, that will be our second or third session tomorrow. We're going to spend a whole session talking about that. I would suggest that this, we're not going to talk about mechanics of intimacy, and so it will be held in a what I believe is a discreet way. It probably would be prudent to have engaged people who are engaged to be married or people who are married. I'm not going to set a hard law about that, but that would probably be a prudent thing. If you have a person that you would like to be in here anyhow, that's fine with me. I won't fuss about it. But anyway, it's going to be about that subject. And then we're going to spend one session talking about raising kids and how to keep our children unspotted from the world. So I really hope you can come back tomorrow. What time are we going to start? Okay, we're going to start at 9 o'clock in the morning. And we will finish with lunch, and I didn't say this a while ago, so let me say it now. We're going to have lunch together, and when we're eating our dessert, what cookies or whatever that is, we'll do Q&A. So we have some pieces of paper, whatever you want to write on. You can retain your anonymity. You don't have to put your name on this. But if you have a question you'd like to have discussed, why pertinent to family, why we'll discuss those at that time, and it can be, it doesn't matter when you hand them to me, you can do it just before lunch if you wish. Let's talk about how to love a wife. The Bible has some rather interesting things to say. A seminar on marriage would be half-baked if you didn't spend some time in Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Oops, wait a minute. That's pretty strong, isn't it? What is it saying, gentlemen? I mean, because how much did Jesus love the church? Well, keep reading. And gave himself for it. What are you doing on the cross, Lord? I'm purchasing the church. Now, I want you to love your wife like that. There's no way around this. What this is saying, gentlemen, is that I'm to love my wife enough to die for her. That's the command of God. I'm to love her enough to die for her. And it's very explicit, too. Love her just also as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that it might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water. This is how Jesus treats the church. And I want to help my wife be an even more radiantly beautiful Christian than she already is. That's my goal as the leader of my home, that he might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of water, by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. The teaching for my home is that I'm the spiritual leader of this home, and my goal is to help my family go to heaven. My goal with my children is to, you know, you've heard people say this is true. I'm raising my grandchildren's parents, and I want them to grow up and not to have Christian homes. We're going to spend some time talking about that tomorrow. Verse 28, same chapter. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and... I'm telling you what, this is real marriage here. This is the real McCoy. I love her enough to die for her. I love her like I love my own body. I mean, she's not apart from me. She's a part of me. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as I'm to nourish and cherish her, just as the Lord does the church. We're members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Which would you say is a stronger relationship? Mother-son or husband-wife? Husband and wife. Woman was asked that question, and if you had to get rid of one, your son or your husband, which would you get rid of? She said, I'd get rid of my husband. He's no kin of mine. Well, he's not kin to you. He is you, right? That's what this teaches. He is you. And the answer is that the closer relationship is not child, mother. It's husband and wife. Only in reference to this relationship does the Bible say two people become one flesh. This is bigger, and that's what this passage is teaching. All right. Here's 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands. And in this chapter, by the way, he's been talking to wives who are Christians, who are married to men who are not Christians. And here's how you act. Here's what you say. Well, he won't even come to worship with me. Well, okay, but here's how you act then to try to bring him to the Lord. But then in verse 7, he switches and says, now, husbands, here's how I want you to treat them. Husbands, he says, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, dwell with them according to knowledge is a fascinating thing to me. I would suggest to you that some kinds of love or affection I came by instinctively. Nobody ever told me. When I became a young man, I knew that I wanted to marry me a woman. Nobody ever said, now, Mr. Colley, you need to marry a woman and not a man. Nobody ever said that to me. I wanted a woman. Now, that was a natural affection. That's a natural, well, in Romans chapter 1, you know, talks of, uses the word natural in reference to that. That's natural. So nobody ever had to teach me that. When my two babies were born, I was present for both of their births. And the doctor, in both cases, you know, he'd birth the babies. He'd give the baby to the nurse, and she would clean the baby up and wrap the baby in swaddling clothes. But do you know who got the babies first? Me. That was smart. I thought I was the one paying the bills, you know. It was me. And my father, you know, he thought that was very strange, because in his generation, the men didn't go in the delivery room. They didn't. In fact, they weren't permitted in there. They were to pace in the waiting room back and forth, and then an announcement would be made, you know, and that's how that worked. And in my generation, figured it out, I wouldn't take $1 million for that. He said, I'll never forget, he said, you're going to go in there? Yeah. Isn't that kind of like an appendectomy? I don't think so. When they handed me those babies, nobody said to me, now, Mr. Colley, I want you to love this baby. Are you kidding? Many of you in this room have done just what I'm describing, and you have kindled in your soul emotions that you've never felt before. There's stuff inside of you that you didn't know was in there. And holding that little baby who has your nose and your ears. You know, I mean, well, you don't have, so that's natural affection. This passage says, but about a wife, dwell with them according to knowledge. Can we make a distinction there? What that is to suggest is, per our session, is that there are some things about affection shown to a wife that you don't come by naturally. You didn't come into the world and say, I know how to treat a woman affectionately. Well, it's kind of funny. When you married, I think this is very amusing. It's fretful, but it's amusing. Is that both of you were eager in your marriage to show affection to the other. And both of you knew exactly how to show that affection. The funny thing is, you were thinking about two different things. Because the way that a man wants to show affection that seems very obvious to him isn't the same way that a woman wants to show affection. And that's very complex. It's part of the way that God created two genders to be very different. And we're different, not just physically, biologically. We're different, and you know this, in our psyches, in our makeup. So we're going to dwell with our wives, gentlemen, according to knowledge. What I'm saying about that is that there are some things you got to learn. It's not enough that I show my wife affection. It's that I need to show her affection in a language that she understands. And that's not the same language that we normally speak. There will be things that I will do. And remember, action first in anticipation of feeling. Action first, then feeling. There are things that I will do in my marriage to show her affection in the way that makes sense to her. With me? All right. How to love a wife. Here's the first one. I'm going to make these categories, and I've tried to name them where you can remember them. The Cary Grant category. Now, I suppose this is the one that you would have expected me to raise. This is the romantic one. I don't know. Some of you young people don't know Cary Grant. He was a movie actor, very romantic. Some people thought he was good looking. I don't know about that. But anyway, he was a very skilled and romantic actor. The Cary Grant category is to find ways. Well, let me just give you some examples. That's probably the easiest thing to do. You, depending on your age, gentlemen, you need intimacy on a rather regular basis. We're going to talk about that some more tomorrow. She needs affirmation of your love on a regular basis. You didn't wake up one morning and say, I think I'll be the kind of man who needs frequent intimacy. She didn't wake up and think one morning, I think I'll be the kind of woman who needs affirmation of a man's love. I'm telling you, that's just how we're made. And you're going to have to show that. If you're smart, you'll show that affection to her in the ways that she gets. The Cary Grant category is to let her know that you're thinking about her and that you care about her and that she lives inside of you in a good way. Heard of a man one time, that he went to Walmart and he bought a package of dry erase markers. And in the middle of the night, if he got up to go to the bathroom, he would go into her bathroom mirror where she gets ready in the morning, and he would write something sweet on her mirror. It wipes right off, but he would write, "You're beautiful." And then he'd just go back to bed. When she got up in the morning, you know, there it is. That's the Cary Grant category. The Cary Grant category is where a husband will leave little notes around the house before he goes to work. Get a sticky pad, write little notes to her and put them in places. The Cary Grant category is that if you're out of town, you're going to call her every day and you'll have a talk, you'll communicate. That's the Cary Grant category. The Cary Grant category is about flowers. You know what? I like flowers. I think flowers are pretty and they smell like a funeral. They're real nice. I'm a preacher. I know a lot about funerals. But if Mrs. Colley never gets me a bouquet of flowers, I'm good with that. I mean, I don't get it about flowers. But I tell you what I do. I can stop off at Walmart. I do this from time to time. I'm not a perfect husband. I don't. But I can stop off at Walmart and for $7 or $8, I can pick up a fist of flowers, a fistful of flowers, and carry them home. Now, I always do this when I go to the door, always, every time I do that. And then it'll start. I'll get to the door, you know, and I'll open the door, and she'll come, and she'll give me a little kiss, and she'll say, "What's behind your back?" And then we'll start that thing, you know, and we'll go through it until I show them to her. And listen to this old preacher. We've been married 36 years. I don't understand about flowers, but I understand about those eyes and how she looks when I give her those flowers. There's something in her eyes that I like very much, and that's why I buy the flowers. All right? The Cary Grant category is that in her glove compartment, in her car, you know, I've always been the one that took care of registration and insurance and that stuff on the cars. So with Hannah, our daughter, and with Cindy, I would put this envelope that had those things in there, and on the outside I wrote, "Show this to the policeman." Because you know, that was my job. That was my job. But what if you put a note in that envelope that says something like this? If you're reading this, honey, it may be that you've had an accident, and I want you to know I don't care about the car. I just care about you, your husband. That's the Cary Grant category. The Cary Grant category is that if you take her out, and you should take her out sometimes, and when you do, I want you to ask her the day before, don't say, "It's almost 6 o'clock, you ain't got dinner ready. We going out?" Well, she might appreciate that, I don't know. But I tell you what she'll appreciate more is if you think it through. Because see, this is about affirming her, that you love her, that she lives inside of you. And so the day before, the evening before, "Honey, I'd like to take you out tomorrow night. Can you go? Will you go with me?" And say it. Say it. Say, I'd like to take you on a date. Say, well, we're too old for that. No, you're not. So this is the Cary Grant category. The Cary Grant category is that you're going to find ways to show her what we would think of as romantic things. So now we've done that one, let's do the next one. The Mr. Clean category. Now this one's going to shock you. So I'm going to say it plainly first and then I'll illustrate it. Ready? Your wife views voluntary help in the house as a romantic gesture. I told you I was going to shock you. The last thing in the world a man would think about in connection to romance, he thinks about one thing, and it's not housework, right? I'm talking about voluntary help with the house. She considers that a romantic gesture. We have a lot of company at the Colley house. And Mrs. Colley, you know, a home is an extension of a woman. That's how she views it. It's an extension of her. And so Mrs. Colley wants that house to be so clean. She wants it to be cleaned in places where nobody's going to look. And so what I try to do, I don't always succeed, but what I try to do on those days when we're having company is to come home an hour or two early, put on my jeans and say, honey, you know what? I will be your slave for an hour and a half. Tell me what you want me to do. She'll always say the same thing. She'll say, do you mean it? I mean it. Then she'll say this. She always says this, same thing. She'll say, do you clean the bathrooms? Yeah, sure I can clean. I don't do that very often, but I am good at it. I am good. And I get those chemicals and I make those things spick. And then I go back and I say, now, Cindy, You still got 45 minutes. Now what's next? You still have me. What else? You mean it?
Yeah, I mean it.
Will you vacuum?
Yeah, I'll vacuum. I'll vacuum.
And I go run that thing. And you know, look. Don't you be thinking that I'm something special, because that's not true. What it is I really like Mrs. Colley,
and I like Mrs. Colley to like me.
And Mrs. Colley. I'm going to say this once more because I want you to get it, gentlemen. Your wife, unless she's a real anomaly, your wife views voluntary help with the house as a romantic gesture. Number three, the Santa Claus category. The Santa Claus category has to do with recognizing special events. By that I mean, of course, I mean, Christmas is easy. They play all that music and all that. You remember that one. Do you remember her birthday? Do you remember your anniversary? Do you remember Valentine's Day? With some sort of acknowledgement, some sort of gift, something. Mrs. Colley and I have some good friends in another state from which we live, different from where we live. They're wonderful people, Christian people. He was raised in a family where they didn't do none of that. They didn't do that. She was raised in what is a more typical family where they did acknowledge those holidays. But because of how he was raised, he just doesn't. They've been married a long time. Now he's an elder in the church, but he just doesn't. And she'll get him a Christmas present. She'll get him a birthday present. But it won't be reciprocated. He'll be grateful for it, but it's just out of his... And what happens is that poor woman, she'll go to worship and be around the other women in the church, and one of them will say, what'd your husband get you for Valentine's Day? Got me some flowers. Oh. What'd your husband get you? Got me a box of candy. Brought me a card. Took me on a date. Oh. They go to her, what did your husband give you? Well, we don't much go in for that sort of thing. You've got to remember the important dates. If you're a real smart gentleman, you'll pop in one day with a gift and she'll say, what's this for? And you say, don't you remember? No, what? You don't remember the occasion of our first date? No. Truth is, you don't remember either. But you can pretend. You've got to remember the dates. Bob and Sarah are faithful members of the church. He's a deacon in the church, somewhere different from where we live. And it was Sarah's birthday. These are real people. And it was Sarah's birthday, and she went down. He was getting ready for work. She was cooking breakfast, and she was humming because it was her birthday. She couldn't wait to see what Bob got her for her birthday. And so the truth is, he forgot. I mean, there wasn't anything in him. He did not remember the birthday. And he bounded down the stairs and, "Morning, Sarah. Morning, Bob." And he went on out to do something in his truck getting ready for work. And he looked under the truck seat to get a tool. And there was a Hallmark card from last Christmas. It was to Sarah, but he forgot to give it to her last Christmas. And he thought it was kind of funny. He came over the house and he pitched it on the counter and said, "Here's your Christmas present." She thought he meant birthday. It was a Christmas card. And then she started realizing, he didn't remember my birthday. And her feathers dropped, her countenance dropped. He went on to work. It was a Wednesday. Came home that evening, and she was just sad. They went to Bible study. After Bible study, why, he said, "I need to go to Walmart." And he wheeled in there, and he bought a tackle box. And he pitched it in the truck, and he said, "I bought myself a birthday present." And Sarah said, this really happened. Sarah said, "Bob, it isn't your birthday. It's mine." I don't know how you get past that. What do you say to a woman at the end of the day? And you have just put your foot way yonder in your mouth. How do you fix that? I don't know. Now, they're still married, I'm happy to tell you. And it worked out. But what I want to say to you, gentlemen, is that you must remember the special days. You say, "Well, I don't get it." Well, that's not the point. See, Ephesians 5 says, "He that loves his wife loves himself." Don't keep shooting yourself in the foot. Be good to your wife. And you're creating an atmosphere to make it easy for her to be good to you. And let me just do one more thing about this. About gifts. Now, you're not going to like this. But if I don't tell you the hard stuff, well, you know. You've got to wrap them. I know you're no good at it. No man's good at wrapping, I don't reckon. But you got to wrap them because it said, don't give it to her in the bag. Wrap it. Because remember, what you're doing is expressing to her, "You're inside of me. And I think about you. And I want to do something for you." That's what you're saying. And if there's somebody in this room right now and you're thinking, "Well, she's not so good to me," you stop that. You stop that. Remember what we said to begin with? Want to have a great marriage? You can't change other people. You can just change you. It's about you. You're going to be judged one day the kind of husband you are. Aren't you? When I said I do and then I was pronounced married, didn't I take on responsibilities on my shoulders that I didn't have before? And will I one day be judged that way? Yeah. I'm going to say one more thing about those gifts. Look, this is a secret. Now, I don't want any woman to listen to this, just the men. But when you go in a store with your wife, and this happens sometimes with Cindy. You're in a store, you know, and she says she sees something. We go in stores that I don't care a snap about sometimes. But that's okay. You know, she likes to look around at things. And sometimes she goes into men's stores where you look at real things, tools, tackle, that sort of, guns. And so it's fair. But anyway, sometimes she'll be looking at something and she'll say, "Glenn, look at that. Isn't that pretty?" And the other day it was some sort of a frock. I can't really describe it. It was woven, looked kind of like a tablecloth, you know. And she said, "Isn't that pretty, Glenn? Look at that." Now, here's the wrong way to do it. And I've made this mistake many times. The wrong way to do it is to say, "Well, honey, if you like it, buy it." Do you ever make that dumb mistake? You're just like me. All right. Okay. See, that's wrong. Now, and sometimes I guess Cindy would. Most of the time, if I said that, she would say, "Oh, I don't guess so." And we'd kind of walk off. The smart thing to do, if you want a great marriage, show her affection, and here's how you do it. She said, and I'm not talking if she admires a Camaro, but if, you know, if it's something that you can afford, And she says, isn't that pretty? And you say, well, it sure is. Why, isn't that a nice candle? Cedar likes candles. Let me smell that. That smells good. And then we just kind of ease on off. But as we're easing on off, I'm thinking, Belk store, aisle 10, middle of the aisle, blue candle. That's what I'm thinking. And then tomorrow on my lunch break, I'm going to go over there and find that candle and buy it. I'm going to buy it. And then I'm crude, but I'm going to wrap it. And now I have in my office a cabinet door that has candles in it. I don't mean that. It's just this little things I've picked up so that I'm ready. And I'm prepared. You know what? I'm prepared. So I'm probably not just going to spring that. I'm going to find a time that I want one of those.
Maybe I need it.
And I'll say, got you this. And, all right. The Santa Claus category. You've got to remember the special days. The Michael Bolton category. This picture always gives me the heebie-jeebies. Look at that look. I know there's more than one Michael Bolton. I'm talking about the one that sang When a Man Loves a Woman. And this one's very simple, but it's a rule. And it's big enough that I'm going to make a whole point of it. What this is that you must never criticize your wife in front of other people.
Now, you should use discretion about that when you're alone, but when you are with other people, never do it.
Sometimes a husband figures, that he's real funny, and he'll crack jokes and make his wife the butt of those jokes. You be real careful about that sort of thing. Be real careful about that. You treat her the way that you'd like to be treated. That's what the old book says. And this rule is, don't criticize your wife in front of other people. You're going to hurt her in a way that you can't regulate. You don't even know. And in fact, the flip side's good. And this is good for Goose Gander. This goes both ways. You want to do yourself a favor? You want to do yourself a big favor? I don't know how much it costs you to come to this seminar, but it's worth it for this. Ready? Compliment your spouse in front of other people. If you're having any trouble understanding why that's a big deal, don't think about it in reference to you complimenting your spouse. You think about it in reference to your spouse saying something complimentary about you in front of other people. Why? You go over to some Christian's house, and you look at that coffee table, and he made that. Oh, that's beautiful. My husband's a woodworker, and I'm amazed at the things he can do with wood, with his hands. He's just amazing. I don't know how he does it. Or you sit, whatever it is. Can you find something to compliment legitimately about your spouse? If you do it in front of other people, I'm telling you, it will say volumes to her. All right, number next. The Superman category. This is the last one of our list. The Superman category. Now, just to put a point on this from the get-go, the Superman category is that there are going to be times in your marriage when your wife does something that is dumb. Men do dumb things too. Or that is nonsensical, or just where she needs help with something. And she's going to reach out for you to help her. Now, first of all, I'm going to tell you this up front. I want in your marriage, anytime your wife needs to reach for a helping hand, gentlemen, husband, I want her to reach for your hand first every time. Right? We're the same about that, right? I don't want her reaching for somebody else's hand first. I want to reach for your hand. The Superman category is that I'm going to help you. And I always like it when Mrs. Colley has a jar that she can't open, assuming I can. And because I can help her with something that she needs. We were walking the other day. We're blessed to live in a neighborhood kind of in the country where we can walk and not be afraid. We could walk at night and not be afraid. We were walking along one day, beautiful day, and one of our neighbors let his dog out. Now, he did not see us out there walking,
And the dog was very territorial and came ripping through that yard at us. And I just stood in front of Cindy and got ready for this dog. And fortunately, the owner saw the dog, what was happening, and shouted to the dog. The dog froze, pivoted, and went back. I was really glad about that. And anyway, so we resumed our walk, and Mrs. Colley said, "Glenn, you were wonderful." I said, "It's nothing, baby." You know, the Superman category is that I want to be the one that she reaches for when she needs help. I want to be that. Now, there are going to be times, you say, your wife calls you one day at work, calls you and says, "Honey, I'm so sorry. I know how busy you are, but I've locked the keys in the car again." I don't even know if you can lock keys in the car now. "But I've locked the keys in the car again, and I'm so sorry." Now, husband, you've got two choices. Right now, you've got two choices. And one of them isn't, are you going to go unlock that car? You're going to go unlock the car. Your choice is how you're going to act about it. Now, one choice, is, I mean, you could say to her, "I can't believe you did this again. You know, I told you last time. Don't you think I'm so irresponsible? Why are you so stubborn? I'll come when I can." And so when you get there and you unlock it, and she says, "I'm sorry, I know how busy you are." And you say, "I've got to go back to work." Now, how do you think things are going to be for you that evening? How do you think it's going to be when you get home? Well, you done shot yourself in the foot. Why, if you're going to unlock the car anyway, why do you treat her like that? What if you do it this way? You're busy. Everybody's busy. Calls you, "Honey, I've locked the keys in the car." And you think, Superman moment. She needs me. And you say, "Well, honey, where are you?" You're at the Walmart store. She's not at the one that's a block away. She's the one 10 miles away. Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, are you in a safe place? I'll come as quick as I can. Let me finish with this client. I'll be there as quick as I can. Let me lay this brick or whatever you do. I'll be there as quick as I can. Maybe you should go back into the store where you're safe. And I'll call you when I get there." And when you get there, she's going to say, "I'm so sorry. I know how busy you are. I'm so sorry." "Honey, it's okay. I don't mind. I forget things too." And you unlock the car. And then you want to be really smart. What you say is, "Listen, I've got another 15 minutes I can take before I have to be back. You want a cup of coffee?" Now I want to ask you a question. Superman, how do you reckon it's going to be for you that evening when you get home? So you had a chance. There was your chance that you could have mocked her, chastised her, chewed her out for distracting you during your busy work day. You could have done that, but you didn't. What you did was, you showed her kindness. Why should you do that? And the answer is because you want to have a happy life. And if your wife's not happy, you're never going to be happy. You never will. You live in such a way as to make her happy, and I'm telling you, it'll pay great dividends. You come out of some families own one of those little lawnmower trailers, little two-wheel trailers that tilt. Great thing. You drive it, lawnmower up there, you know, and it's wonderful. Here's a family, they have an SUV and they've got one of these tilt trailers. And one day the husband takes the SUV to work because he needs to drop off the lawnmower on that trailer, and he's got it at his workplace. And the wife calls and she says, she just comes over. She comes in and she says, I'm in a hurry. I have to have the SUV. "Well, okay, honey, but now you know that the trailer is on there. Won't you let me come out and back it out for you? Because it's really hard to back a two-wheel trailer. Let me come out and do that." "I'm in too big a hurry. I've got to go. I'm in too big a hurry." "Okay, be careful. You know, have a nice day." And so he's standing there watching. And in her mind, what she's thinking is, if you want the trailer to go straight, you just keep the steering wheel straight. Right? Now, those of you who are smiling know what I'm... No. Those of you who aren't smiling, you don't know. But that's not true. And immediately what she does is jackknife the trailer and it cuts a gash in the side of that vehicle. Now you have two choices. One of them, husband, isn't, are you going to pay the money and fix that hole in the side of your SUV? That is spent money. It's a done deal. That hole is there and you're going to fix it. But you still have two choices. And one of them is you march down there and you let her have it. I mean, didn't she do a dumb thing? Well, I suppose you could say it that way. What you could say is, why are you so stubborn? I told you, I tell you, and I tell you, and I told you not to do it because... Right? And she's crying. And you think, she deserves it. Really? And so, what's going to happen when you get home that evening? Well, she did a thing that you considered to be a dumb thing. I suppose it was. You do dumb things sometimes. And you took the opportunity to upbraid her. You exploited it and you hurt her. Go ahead and do that. You'll never see the backside of a happy life. You never will. It'll be your fault too. Your second choice would be that you think, uh-oh, bang, this is a Superman moment. A Superman moment. Now you got to get control of yourself because you realize that you just spent some money on that hole in the SUV. But you go down there and she's probably crying and she says, I'm so sorry. Look at what I did and I'm so sorry. And you told me you did, but I wasn't listening. I'm so sorry. And you say, honey, are you okay? Are you all right? I'm okay, but look at the... Well, it was an accident and everybody has accidents sometimes. And I understand. It's okay. It's all right. Now, how's it going to be that evening when you get home? So you had a chance, Superman. You had a chance. If you wanted to upbraid her, you could have done it. But you didn't. And I would like to think that when the day comes, and it'll probably be tomorrow or the day after when you do something, she's not going to upbraid you either. She'll have the law of kindness in her lips. But whether or not she does, this is what you should do. And it's the Superman category. The Superman category is that there are going to be times in my wife's life, our lives together, that she's going to need me. I want her to reach for my hand first. And then when she does, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. Now, before we stop, I want to read these to you. I haven't read any of these, all right? But what this says is, in the last couple of weeks, the most romantic thing my husband has done for me is this. Did it make you nervous? All right. The most romantic thing my husband did for me the last couple of weeks. And I want us to look at these. Now, listen to me. I love this experiment, but I never do it in the reverse. I never give these to the men. I think it would be monothemed. Right? You're laughing, and you know what I mean. But I want you to see, because, well, I've just gone through five categories of things which I'm suggesting to you are the ways to show affection to your wife, how to love a wife. And so let's go through them. What do you say? Last couple of weeks, most romantic thing he did. He scheduled the electrician to come in and fix my kitchen. Most romantic thing. He came up behind me and embraced me and kissed me. He rubbed my feet and legs after a 10-hour shift at work. He rubbed my back. He apologized. He read a romantic book out loud at the end of the day. No comments, please. Most romantic thing last couple of weeks, he filled the gas tank. Romantic rascal. Binge watching 3 seasons of a television show over a 2-week period, cuddle time. Good. He told me he loves me and wants to spend more time with me. Well, where's the intimacy? I mean, the S word, where is it? We've gone through half of these. And this is about the most romantic thing my husband's done for me the last couple of weeks, and don't you think that's... I mean, nobody signed these. There's no names. Don't you think it's interesting that that's not... I mean, I don't know what's in these. Maybe it'll be here, but it hasn't been here yet. Don't you think that's interesting? I'm just saying we're different. And the Bible says to dwell with them according to knowledge. And knowledge is not something I have instinctively. It's something that I learn. And what we're about is learning how to communicate in a language that our wives will understand. And I'm just saying, I ask them this question, and here's the kind of responses that I'm getting. Most romantic thing my husband did for me the last couple of weeks, when he took out the trash and recycling without me having to ask. Are you with me? Are we learning something here? I don't think that she's mocking this experiment. I don't think that she's teasing us or making fun of us. I think she means it. You know why this was romantic to her? It's because he was thinking about her. He took out the trash. He did it, and she didn't have to ask him. He took me for breakfast at my favorite restaurant. It was a surprise. He knows I love to eat out. Does your wife like to eat out? Most romantic thing husband did for me the last couple of weeks, do the laundry and make supper. And there's a happy face and a heart. All right. Most romantic thing, two words, the laundry. Come on now, am I getting you? Am I getting you? Are we getting together on this, gentlemen? Okay. Most romantic thing, took me out for my birthday and said thank you for being my wife. You know what's funny about this? Is that he probably bought her a present too. There's not one word about that because she just put down the big stuff. He took her out for her birthday and said, thank you for being my wife. That was the big one, right? Okay, all right. Here's what I said I haven't seen. It's very discreet. Greater physical attentiveness. Well, I could be wrong. It could be that they're going to the gym together. I don't know. I don't know. Stop that. He made dinner, cleaned the kitchen, then made popcorn, and then cuddled up on the sofa with me to watch a movie. He planned a romantic Christmas trip to the Biltmore Estate. You know, we've done that a couple of times, and it's really nice. It's really nice. Plan a surprise weekend getaway for me with a dear friend who is ill and shared that surprise with me over breakfast in bed. I'm getting you now. All right, okay. I'm not hearing the men say, oh, yet. Most romantic thing, bring me home a dessert that he thought I would like at work for lunch. Here's the last one. And it's my favorite one. Most romantic thing my husband did for me the last couple of weeks was he rolled down the window of the car and whistled at me as I walked across the parking lot. Good for you. Good bully for you. All right. All right then. Well, I hope that you. I hope you've had fun with this, and but it's really my hope, of course, more that you have learned something that we get not instinctively, that we get like the Bible says, according to knowledge. Would you pray with me, please? Thank you, Father, for loving us, and help us to treasure our wives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, would you like to say something to dismiss everyone?